start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I wanna wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Oh yeah, a little Frankie Sinatra for you. New York, New York. I guess that's about the main song New York is, that New Yorkers think is their theme song. New York, New York. There's a few others. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is December. It is Wednesday, December the 1st. Oh, wow. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Kobach of the Alliance for Free Citizens, and we're going to talk about a suit against the Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, OSHA, to block mandating the virus vaccine. OSHA thinks it has the authority to do so. The Alliance for Free Citizens does not. That will be interesting. And the superintendent of Detroit Public Schools admits they are using critical race theory so students can learn about historical injustices. He admits it. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. And as you probably know, the Supreme Court, as we talk, starting to hear arguments right now in the abortion case that could lead to overturning Roe versus Wade. We are, of course, going to talk about that as well. And we have a great top 10. You might remember on Monday we gave you the top 10 most popular governors in the country, the top 10 least popular governors in the country is what we will bring you today. So stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. It's located in a very attractive small shopping plaza called the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street, just north on Overcash Drive. And also, good morning, Clearwater, every day, Monday through Friday. You got to listen to them, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. They're just, you know, it's like your morning cup of coffee. You just got to listen to them so that you can feel alive. All right. Well, so it's going to be very, very interesting. This may be the most important Supreme Court decision in a long, long time. The scope of abortions in the U.S. is at stake today. As the court hears these oral arguments, the actual case is Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. That's Jackson, Mississippi. And the state of Mississippi is arguing that the court should allow it and other states to ban abortions after 15 weeks. That's really all it is. They are not asking that Roe versus Wade be declared unconstitutional. More specifically, they want to strike down a lower court decision blocking the 15-week abortion ban. Now, this law was passed in 2018. And at that time, they encountered a legal challenge from a women's health organization in Jackson. And at that time, that abortion clinic said that the Mississippi law was illegal. It was unconstitutional. And that it should be permanently blocked. So now we've got supposedly a 6-3 conservative majority on the court. I am not so sure about John Roberts, the Chief Justice. I'm not so sure he would want to go anywhere towards overturning Roe versus Wade. I'm not sure about that. The strongest vote to overturn Roe and to allow the 15-week ban after 15 weeks in Mississippi is Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas has openly admitted he thinks Roe versus Wade is unconstitutional. So that leaves the other eight justices, does it not? It will be very interesting to see what the newest Supreme Court justice, Comey Barrett, will do. Amy Comey Barrett. You know, sometimes you get little surprises as to how justices will end up deciding. So we'll see where that goes. But it seems to be, if you listen to the mainstream media, a fait accompli that the justices are going to allow the Mississippi law to basically to take effect again, and that after 15 weeks you can block abortions in that state. Now, we've talked about this many times before. We think that the states should make the ultimate decision. That it was never something that the Supreme Court should have decided for the entire country. This is a behavioral issue. Much like all of these sexual orientation things are behavioral issues. And I think, I'm strongly pro-life. I think doing away with an unborn child is murder. It's pure and simple. It's killing a living human being. It just so happens to be inside a receptacle, the woman's body at the time. But I can understand that different states might have different opinions about that situation. And I'm wondering why it wouldn't be a state's rights issue. I think that's where it may ultimately go. If this particular Mississippi law is allowed to stand, then I think it opens the door for each state to determine when an abortion becomes something you're not allowed to do. And we'll see where it all goes, but it's very, very interesting. Everybody will be following it. I think they're actually allowing the oral arguments to be aired. The Supreme Court is allowing it so people can listen in on it too. So that, I think, is a good thing. All right, let us take our break. We're going to change gears a little bit. OSHA wants to force workers to get the virus vaccine. Is that legal? Let's talk with Chris Kobach about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, December the 1st, and this is interesting. A federal judge in Louisiana yesterday issued a nationwide preliminary injunction against President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. That's huge. This is Judge Terry Daugherty, District Court in Louisiana, and he ruled in favor of a request from the Attorney General in the state, Jeff Landry, to block a regulation that required vaccines for nearly every full-time employee, as well as part-time employees and volunteers and independent contractors working in these different healthcare facilities. So that's huge. Well, we are delighted to have Chris Kobach join us. He is the general counsel for the Alliance for Free Citizens. We've had Chris on before. And he has filed a brief earlier this week in the OSHA vaccine mandate case. Chris, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about this OSHA vaccine mandate case, if you would.
Well, the OSHA mandate is the most sweeping of the, I guess you could call them, four different mandates that President Biden has unleashed on the country. And this is the one that affects 80 million workers, and it affects every company with more than 100 employees. So it's the biggest, it's massive, and it's really it's bigger than anything OSHA has ever done in the agency's 50-year history. And I should say attempted to do, because hopefully they won't accomplish it. And this case, we filed on behalf of North Dakota employers and employees, and we filed in the Eighth Circuit. And there was a lottery of sorts in which cases filed in multiple circuits were consolidated randomly into the Sixth Circuit in one giant case. And that's where we are now, along with cases filed by the Texas Attorney General and by other individuals. And we're in the process now of briefing, and we've seen what the Department of Justice's arguments are. And they're not that good. You would think that trying to do something this massive, they would have at least a pretty decent leg to stand on, but they really don't.
Really? You know what's interesting? Occupational Safety and Health Administration, that's what OSHA is all about. I always thought of it as they were the ones that if something fell on you while you were at work or you dropped a roller, you know, machine roller on your toe, which I did one time, by the way. I did it. You know, that they would step in and help you and make sure that you were covered for a workplace incident. And then I'm thinking, well, is this really? Aren't they out of their bounds here? This is not an occupational injury or disease, really, is it?
You're exactly right. It's not. And that's one of the arguments that is being made in this consolidated case. The OSHA statute itself doesn't support what OSHA is doing. So that's the statutory argument. Yeah, it's not an occupational hazard. It's not a workplace threat or you know, toxic thing. You know, COVID is everywhere. It is not limited to the workplace. People would not normally say, oh, COVID, that's a workplace problem. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. In addition to that, the statute allows them to do this, to issue an emergency standard, but only in cases of grave emergency where it is absolutely necessary to do it the way they want to do it. Here we don't have a grave emergency. We're 2 years into the COVID pandemic, and suddenly OSHA decides to do something. In fact, when President Biden announced it on September 9th, OSHA waited another 2 months after that to do it. So clearly there's no emergency situation, and it's not necessary. One of the things we point out in our briefing this week, you know, after hearing what the Department of Justice had to say, we had pointed out, look, this regulation doesn't take into account natural immunity. And there are over 100 studies that say natural immunity is superior to any immunity that you might gain from the vaccine. That is to say, immunity, natural immunity, everybody knows, the immunity that you gain from previously having COVID. So we were waiting for their answer. What could their answer be? And their answer was, well, here's a couple of studies that show natural immunity is inconsistent among people, that some have more of it than others. Well, that's not an answer. Immunity from a vaccine is inconsistent, and we've had millions of breakthrough cases. So it really just shows the weakness. They don't have an answer to why they excluded natural immunity, and that's another reason why it doesn't meet the statutory standard itself, which, again, under the statute, they have to show it was necessary to do it this way. They had to be as draconian as they are.
Yeah. We're talking with Chris Kobach. He is the general counsel at the Alliance for Free Citizens. He's filed a brief in this OSHA vaccine mandate case. You know, Chris, it seems like, and we were just talking about this this Mississippi abortion thing, and in both this OSHA thing and in that, a case could be made that the state's rights come into play. States' rights. And where these and I think in some ways we are moving back towards realizing that the people that put our Constitution together wanted a strong states' rights country, as opposed to a top-down strong federal government country. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking maybe it's interesting to see that this is allowing the governors of each state to kind of pick up the reins a little bit.
It is, and you're absolutely right. I used to teach constitutional law years ago at an area law school, and the interesting thing is you can defeat states' rights two ways if the Supreme Court goes awry. One is by allowing federal power to grow into areas that the Founding Fathers and the words of the Constitution do not allow, and that's what the OSHA mandate is. One of our main constitutional arguments is that they assert that this is just an exercise of the commerce power of Article 1, Section 8. But the Supreme Court has already said in the Obamacare case, the commerce power doesn't allow you to force people to buy things. If any government has that power, it is the states. So only the states can get into the realm of forcing people to buy health care. And we would argue that even the states can't get into the realm of forcing them to take a vaccine. And then the other way that you can have an encroachment on state authority is when the Supreme Court makes a mistake, like in Roe v. Wade, and defines a new federal right out of thin air, and that federal right restricts state action, restricts the ability of states to regulate abortion, to ensure the safety of mothers, to ensure that fewer abortions are performed. You name the objective, states don't have that freedom when a federal right is created that was not in the Constitution.
Exactly. Yeah. It did. It took away the erosion of the states' rights have been occurring. You know, let's face it. There just seems to be this magnet in our way of government here that draws, if you don't watch out, draws more and more power away from the states and towards a centralized bureaucracy. That's what, those people that believe in a strong central government are winning the battle, actually. Look at all of the things that our government is now doing. It should never have got our federal government, running our health care to a large extent. Even in education, a case could be made that the federal government should not. They can promote education, but to take control of it is a different article,
That's exactly right. And one thing we're seeing, a bit of silver lining on the cloud of the loss of American liberty during the Biden administration is that the courts are, just in these last few weeks, the courts are ruling in favor of the Constitution in the sense of the original meaning of the Constitution. They are putting the brakes on this rapid expansion of federal power. And thank goodness that President Trump was able to appoint many originalist justices, which are those who believe in the original understanding of the Constitution and who believe they're non-activists. They believe that a judge should not change the meaning of federal law. It means what the words say. And it's that kind of thinking, which is the only coherent kind of thinking for a judge, that has led to the decisions we're seeing, which are stays, injunctions, and some judicial roadblocks. With roadblocks is the wrong word. Judicial review and assertion of correct constitutional doctrine.
Again, we're talking with Chris Kobach from the Alliance for Free Citizens. We're talking about this OSHA vaccine mandate and their suit to stop it from occurring. Now, we just, before you came on, Chris, we talked a little bit about this Louisiana federal judge, which has issued an injunction against Biden's vaccine mandate for health care workers. Is that kind of running along the same kind of intellectual logic as yours is?
Yes. So the way people should think about it is you've got these four different mandates. You've got health care workers, which is being done by putting strings on Medicare, Medicaid funds. You've got the OSHA mandate, which is the biggest one, which we just discussed, which is an expansion of the commerce power. You've got the mandate on federal contractors, which is also done through the spending power. And then you have the mandate on federal employees. Those are the four massive expansions of government power that a Biden is attempting. And two of them have now been stayed. And this latest decision is yet another one on the use of Medicare funds. And to answer your question, it is similar because there the federal government was using the spending power and put in the executive branch was overstepping. Well, it's two things. The federal government arguably can't use the spending power to force people to take vaccines. And secondly, the executive agency was overstepping the words of the statute that empowered it as well. Congress didn't say, oh, and this agency, whenever it wants, can force people in the healthcare industry to take vaccines. They didn't even imply that or suggest that. So that's the main reason these two judges recently have struck it down. So there are many similar veins of attack in these judicial battles that we're fighting right now.
Chris, if I owned a company and I had, let's say I had 25 employees and I didn't want any of them to come to work without having a vaccine shot, am I within my rights to tell them you either take the vaccine shot or you can find another job?
So the answer is it probably depends on which state you're in. Now,
okay.
You're asking me. So if we're talking about, assuming that all the Biden mandates are struck down, just leaving those aside, could you do it just in your capacity as a private employer?
Right.
In most states, although that number is quickly and I hope continually diminishing, you probably could do it and get away with it. Now, your employers could bring an action in front of the EEOC, for example, if they said that they had a religious objection and they were not being accommodated in the workplace with because of their religion. But those claims may not succeed. But in the states that have now recently passing statutes, North Dakota and Kansas are two very recent ones, that say every employer must any request for a medical exemption or a religious exemption, you'd have a hard time doing that as an employer today.
You know, it seems to me that it's harder to stop a vaccine mandate when the private company that says that's just, it's like you got to wear shoes and a tie when you come to work,
That's the mandate. I mean, it is. It's just it's a private mandate.
It's a private mandate, yeah. I mean, you don't want to work here, that's fine. You don't have to take the shot, but if you want to work here, it's like taking drug tests, I don't want to take a drug. Well, then you can't work here because we all, I think the logic is fairly similar, don't you?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what's being debated in the mostly red states that are trying to provide some protection for workers. They're also looking at the idea that the employer can impose certain conditions on taking a job at his or her workplace. And so that's why typically you're seeing most of these states saying, okay, we're not going to force or deny employers the ability to impose a vaccine policy, but we're going to make sure workers have very broad freedom to assert either a religious or a health-based exemption.
Right. Chris, always a pleasure to talk with you. Very, very, very interesting topic. Good luck with this.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
All righty. Chris Kobach, Alliance for Free Citizens, keeping up the good fight. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got this superintendent of Detroit Public Schools. He admits they are using critical race theory because they have to indoctrinate their kids about historical injustices. Let's see what the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi, thinks about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a December 1st. You know, it's nice out there. I like it. It's what, about 60 degrees, maybe high 50s out there? Sunny and bright. We've had good weather here, actually. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of cold snaps going on all over the place in this country now. I wonder what those climate change people, because they basically are saying our planet is warming up because of what we're doing to it, you know. And then you get all these cold snaps and it's snowing like hell in Minneapolis and Green Bay and all these places. Anyway, the superintendent of Detroit Public Schools said earlier this month that schools in his district, quote, are deeply using critical race theory. And he claims students must learn about historical injustice in the United States, quote, to better understand who they are. Now, when I was growing up, we knew about slavery. We knew it was wrong. I was basically, I went to Catholic grade schools. We knew it was wrong. We knew the Founding Fathers did it. We knew that at the time it was something that a lot of wealthy landowners did. We still knew what was wrong. We knew that black people were as good as any other people, that they weren't like, three-quarters of a human being or anything else like that. But this superintendent, is admitting we've got to indoctrinate the kids, basically. He says our curriculum is deeply using critical race theory, especially in social studies. He says, but you'll find it in English and in language arts. And the other disciplines, he said, we're very intentional about creating a curriculum, infusing materials, and embedding critical race theory within our curriculum. So there you go. And that's in Detroit. We've got the Master Barber with us. Andrew, when you were being raised, you knew that slavery was wrong, did you not?
Of course, Paul. Listen, this guy is an idiot. The parents in Detroit should hold all their kids from going to school.
Yeah, yeah.
Period. The guy's a moron. Listen, we all learned there were injustices, this, that, and everything else. But you know what? Oh, we took the land from the Indians. Hey, let me tell you, the Indians are living really good today because of us.
Yeah, especially the ones around the casinos, aren't they?
That's what I...
Okay. They're multimillionaires.
That's right. So you know what? They can take their CRT and they know what they can do with that.
Yeah, it's... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Yeah, that's... That's it. This guy's a moron. If the parents were smart, they wouldn't let their kids go to school.
Yeah.
They put him in a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy should be suspended from his job.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Of course, you know, he's deep in the city of Detroit, which is heavily Democratic. I guess he could pretty much say anything, maybe, and get away with it. But
are these people really that stupid?
I don't think so. And we've talked about this before. Inner city people, in particular, I think, would be the first ones to say, I want my kid to go to a better school than the one they're sticking my child in. I want the right to choose a better school for my child, you know. I think that it should ring very strongly within the minorities in inner cities.
It should, Paul. But you know what? We got some better things to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, right let's now. Go for it. I knew you had some thoughts.
Listen, I was really shocked last night.
Yeah.
When I was watching Hannity, and I normally don't watch him, but I happened to tune it on last night.
Sean Hannity on Fox yes. News, yes.
Yes, and Dr. Oz announced he was running for the Senate in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I was very shocked because, you know what, I thought this guy was a liberal.
You did.
And I never watched him. I just, you know, the way he was. And let's face it, Oprah Winfrey made him what he is today.
Okay.
It's like the other doctor there, Dr. Phil. So
I
just...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
By me thinking there was a liberal, but let me tell you, I heard him speaking last night, man. I'm a Dr. Oz fan now.
Are you? Now what?
You got no idea.
Okay, so what? First of all, I did not know much about Dr. Oz. I knew about Dr. Phil, but this Dr. Oz, I'd heard his name. I didn't actually know what the heck he was. He does a TV program, right?
Yeah, well, he does a TV program. He's guest on a lot of other programs. You know, he's a well-known doctor, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard his name.
Let me tell you what, this guy's got the women locked up already. They love him.
Okay, so what did he say on Sean Hannity that he wanted to do?
Talking about the border. I was discussing what's going on. He was talking about all this COVID crap that's going on. This guy sounded like Trump.
So he's definitely a conservative.
No question about it. Boy, I'll tell you what, I profiled him totally wrong.
And he's running for what, a governorship?
Senator.
And what state?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Ah, that's a very interesting state. I wonder
that's
what
right.
Pennsylvania is going to... Hey, by the way, I was watching Biden again. I think he's actually come down a little bit in the last couple of months. He really came across to me... Yesterday, he was in Minnesota, and he was, I think it was Minnesota, he was talking about infrastructure and how his infrastructure bill was so good and it's going to really help the roads in Minnesota and this and that, you know, and he was, of course, patronizing people around in there. But he really came across to me as being, I don't know, very weak physically.
You're just noticing that?
No. I'm saying no. You didn't. I'm saying it's even worse. I'm saying it's worse than what it was.
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to say.
The poor guy's a refried bean.
One of these times, he's just going to go up there and he's going to go, and you won't be able to understand anything he says.
That's probably happened next week.
Yes.
Okay. Here's another thing, Paul.
Yes.
We got these two trials going on here right now. We got Jesse Smollett.
Jesse, yes. But remember, it's not Jesse. He says his name is Jussie.
Whatever.
Like Hussy.
Whatever.
Call him Jussie like Hussy. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, whatever. You got his trial going on.
Yeah.
And we got the Grizzly and Maxwell trial going on.
Grizzly.
You might predict.
I like that. Grizzly Maxwell. Go ahead.
I'm giving you my two prediction, buddy.
Please do.
Okay, now... First of all, Jesse Smollett there, he's going to get off on 6 months probation.
Okay.
Period. Then you won't hear no more about him.
Okay.
Now, the other one, there's a lot of
Grizzly people. Grizzly Bear Maxwell, yes.
That's right. You got a lot of people. Look at all these CEOs that seem to be dropping out of their positions lately, last couple of days.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, Epstein killed himself in jail.
Right.
They couldn't suicide her. In jail, because if they did, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody'd be in an uproar knowing it's a big setup. Okay?
Yes.
Now, I believe she's going to be found innocent.
You do?
Of course.
Okay.
And then a month after, she's going to have a very bad car accident.
Okay.
Killed.
Okay.
They couldn't do this.
They're going to put out a hit on her.
Yeah, and I tell you, it might even be the royals that do it.
Because Prince Andrew was running around there.
That's right.
Yeah, they got a picture of him with...
Okay, now, now if the word gets out over here about Clinton, it doesn't matter because who cares anymore about Clinton? He's done, she's done, they ain't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't offer in prison. They got to wait, they got to make her be innocent so they can all say they're cleared. It was a bunch of humbug. Then a month later, goodbye. Car accident.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you think that. You know, I was, unfortunately for Donald Trump, there's a picture of him and Epstein, and apparently he was on the whatever you call that plane.
The Lolita Express, and he flew.
Yes. Now, what do you think? Do you think?
I'm going to tell you what I know, not what I think.
Okay.
What I know is Trump was on that airplane one time. He flew from Florida to New York on it, period. And right after that, he banned Epstein from Mar-a-Lago.
So he didn't go to that island?
No, never was at the island.
Okay.
He only flew on that plane one time, and it's proof. You could check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like these girls that are testifying in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial are going to come across as very believable and sympathetic. And you got to remember that this is a jury trial. So how are you going to? Well, I mean, how are you going to influence the jury? I think there's a chance they're going to find her guilty.
Well, we're going to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd like to put a little wager on?
No, I wouldn't. I think there's sympathy both ways. I do. I mean, she is arguing. Look, it was him that was doing everything. I didn't really get directly involved in it, you know. It's hard for her to make that excuse, but she's going to come across and say, look, I was in the same situation these girls were in or something, you know?
Like I said, she's going to get off.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, but then she's going to have a tragic accident.
Yeah. Jussie Smollett is unbelievably. I think he should just turn around and settle out of court. I mean, come on, he in a trial.
He should serve.
They got the tape. They got the tape of him with those two guys, those two black guys.
He needs to do some prison time.
You think he will? No, you just said
because he's good friends with Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
you know and. And, you know, in Maxwell's case, you also got to realize, too, that the judge is an Obama appointee judge. And again, the prosecutor is James Comey's daughter.
We're talking in the Jussie Smollett case or in the
Maxwell.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fixed trial already.
You think so, huh?
Come on.
I'll make you a gentleman's bet. I'll make you a gentleman's bet. And you're a gentleman. I'm not, but you are. That she is going to do some time.
Yeah, she'll do time served.
Okay.
She's been in prison, what, 2 years?
Yeah, that's true. She has been in there for a while.
Time served, Paul.
Yeah, you don't think anything else, huh?
No.
We'll see. Gentleman's bet on that one. I think she's going to do a little more time. We'll see. That's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
It isn't. We got some very interesting. You notice how they're suppressing that Waukesha rampage. That poor.
Oh, it was the car that did it, Paul.
Exactly, the car did it. We're going to take the car to court.
And what about they let him out running over his girlfriend 2 weeks?
Oh,
before?
I know, it's just terrible.
$1,000 bond.
And
this stuff has got to stop, Paul.
It's horrible. Another young person has died from that thing, by the way. So they've got like seven dead.
You know what? These people that give him the low bond and stuff ought to be held liable. If something happens.
Yeah.
And so should the judges.
I agree with that. When they get out on such an easy bond for such terrible things, then they go and do it again. People die. Terrible.
They're trying to hang these poor people for January 6th, right? They happened to walk
beating that story
building.
To death. These people, a bunch of yokels that wandered in there with their little signs and wandered around, they weren't out there to hurt anybody. I mean, the truth was they just went in there. I mean, you know, that was a complete overreaction.
Yeah, but you know, if that guy ran a tank into the Capitol building on that day, they would have let him out on $1,000 bond.
Well, if he did run a tank into that... You're right. He shouldn't be let out on a $1,000 bond.
I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. And you know what, Paul?
Yeah.
It's all the Democrats' fault.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
It's easy to blame them these days because we got...
You want to hear another good one, Paul?
Yeah.
I love Publix chicken wings. They make the best...
Do they?
The best unbreaded deep fried chicken wings you can have.
Ed agrees with you. Ed agrees.
Take them home, put them in the oven for a few minutes, and rub some buffalo sauce or whatever. They're the best in the world.
Really?
You know, they used to be $20, 20 of them for $8.99. You know how much they are today?
I'm afraid to ask you. Go ahead.
$14.99.
$15 for those things?
Right. From $8.99.
What happened? It was always chicken that you could count on for being inexpensive.
Wings are in demand. Hey, Andrew, next time you've got to try this, you got to call ahead, but ask for their Mardi Gras wings.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, my God.
They're fantastic.
They're a little pricey. You know, some of these wing places are going to thighs now.
Yeah.
Explain to me that the thighs are available, but not the wings. What are they doing with the, you know?
The drumstick?
What are they doing with the rest of the chicken? We got a bunch of wingless chickens running around, or what?
My best part of the chicken is the wings and the thighs, buddy, and the drumsticks.
Yep.
You're listening to the Freedom Works food show.
I hope
you enjoy the recipes that we are giving you.
Mardi Gras wings. Oh, God.
All right, enough of this food stuff. You're making me hungry, and it's only a quarter to 11. Come on, guys.
I actually, last night...
I can't take it.
I saw four boxes in Publix of the chicken wings marked up
for $99.
I put my little Biden stickers on them and said, I did that.
Oh, you rascal, you. I think you're probably getting a payoff from these people at Publix. But you know what? I love going to Publix. I have to admit, I get all kinds of stuff there, and they do go out of their way to be friendly to you there. I have to admit that as well. Hey, maybe we can get Publix for a sponsor. We could. That would be nice.
That would be great. That would post your chicken wings.
Wow.
Anyway, I wanted to thank Joe Biden for raising the price of them chicken wings.
Oh, yeah. He'll probably be blamed for that. Inflation right now. He can't erase. It just sticks to him, you know?
It's all his, buddy.
Yeah.
He owns it.
Indeed.
Him and the Democrats, they own it all.
Right.
I don't see too many happy ones. And they're saying 81% of the Democrats are happy with Joe Biden. They're full of crap.
No, they know there's something not right with him.
How can they be that stupid?
They're not.
To back it up. Why, they need to say, hey, I'm American. The hell with this Democrat party. They're fools.
Right. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. I can't wait till Friday to talk with you again. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about on that day.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm getting all good kind of news. All these good people running for politics. But I heard Dr. Oz was going to do it. I'm thinking of running now.
Well, you'd have a shot, that's for sure. Let's talk more about that possibility on Friday, my friend.
You got it.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right. Thanks so much. There he goes, the Master Barber. Let us take our final break. When we come back, the top 10 least popular governors in the country.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. So we hope you can listen in. However, we can allow you to listen to us on podcast if you can't listen in live. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast on our website. All you've got to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top. By the way, there's other things you can look at on the website. You'll find out more about our guests if you click on the calendar. And so there's good things on there. But the podcast, that's the biggie. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, the word police have been out most recently, and they're really getting to be absurd. Did you know that the word looting can be racist? Looting? You know all these smash and grabs that are going on now all over the country, like in San Francisco? They're breaking into these big stores. We're not talking about grocery stores. We're talking about big-time stores, jewelry stores and Walmarts and Target stores and, you know, things like that. Well, anyway, critics reacted strongly to claims by, quote, experts that the use of the term looting to describe large-scale smash and grabs from retail stores in California could be associated with people of color and therefore should not be used. So, Ed, no longer can we use the word looting when you go in and loot. Now we'll say that you are just making purchases without paying for them.
No. We use the same terminology when we have the protests. They're not protests, but they're riots. It's called free stuff.
Free stuff, yeah.
Free stuff.
This is free stuff for
free
you.
Free shoes.
Come on in and get your free stuff.
Free shoes, free mattresses,
yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes, and we got another term that they don't want to use anymore. Did you know they don't want to use the term sex offender? Did you know that? The way sex offenders are labeled is changing in Colorado. The board that sets state standards has voted to change the term sex offender to reflect so-called person first language. The Sex Offender Management Board, made up of everyone from public defenders to prosecutors, sets standard and guidelines for treatment providers, so the new terminology will only be used in that context. So the word sex offender is now becoming something of a...
What would they like us to call them?
I know.
Honorary citizens?
Let's see what they... Oh, they argued the word client. It's no longer... Like, okay...
So
there is a sex offender that's going to be moving into your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We're going to warn you. But no longer will we tell you it's a sex offender. Hey, we have a client moving into your neighborhood.
Yeah, well, that falls
that's
in
ridiculous.
Terms like a few years ago when I think it was Obama that outlawed the illegal aliens to call them undocumented workers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Words. By the way, client is only one of five words that the board's considering for changing. So we'll see. It says here, in the end, the board voted 10-6 to go with, quote, adults who commit sexual offenses. Well, what's the difference between that and sex offenders? It's easier to say sex offenders. All right. Anyway, Ed, remember Monday we did the top 10 most popular governors. Turnabout is fair play. This is coming from the Morning Consult poll that listed all of the 50 governors of the country. And here are the top 10, most recently, top 10 least popular governors. Number 10, Steve Sisolak of Nevada, Republican. There's actually a tie here. Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, she's a Democrat. And Greg Abbott of Texas, he's been in the news a lot. He's a Republican. They all are at 50% approval. Okay, number so that leads us to number 7, and we have a tie, a three-way tie for number 7. Okay, here we go. Kim Reynolds of Iowa. She's a Republican, or is it a he? That's a she, I think. 49%. Also, Tate Reeves of Mississippi, a Republican, 49%. Boy, Mississippi's really in the news these days with the abortion thing going on right now in the Supreme Court.
Mm.
Okay. And the third one on number 7 is Brian Kemp of Georgia. Brian Kemp, he's a Republican. And, you know, he got on, didn't he get on Trump's bad side because of all of that Georgia voting and whether or not,
Not sure, but I went to a school with a Brian Kemp. I hope that's not him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then he became the governor of Georgia. That's
maybe.
Pretty
I'll
cool.
have to look him up.
I don't know.
Get a favor.
Yeah, exactly. 49% for him as well. All right. So that actually brings us down to number 5. And we have a tie, a two-way tie.
Wow.
Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania. He's a Democrat, 48%. And Kathy Hochul of New York. Now, she is the one that replaced Cuomo. Hey, by the way, did you see his brother has been suspended?
He got pulled
from CNN.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I understand a brother covering for his brother. I actually kind of can be a little, as much as I detest both Cuomos, don't you think that in a way?
No. Because you know what?
What?
That's he got the reverse woke thing. Remember all these people that just because they may have done something or said something wrong, they've been fired?
Right.
And he's reported all that. Oh, how bad they are. How bad they are. Well, he was using his influence and his contacts to help his brother out. Same thing happened to him.
Also,
what goes around?
Well, here's the thing. He had a responsibility to be upfront.
Yeah.
And he was not.
Right.
And he went on the air and he said that he wasn't getting additional info from other media people to help his brother. He said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't true.
Mm.
So they caught him on that one. All right. So let's see. Okay. That leads us to number 3. We have another tie. Oh, my God. Everyone's tied up. Tony Evers of Wisconsin. He is a Democrat, 45%. And David Ege of Hawaii, Democrat, 45% as well. Number two is Arkansas, Doug Ducey, GOP, Republican, 44%. All right. So that finally brings us to number 1. Ed, I know you don't have any idea, but you want to guess a state or anything?
Let's go with New Jersey.
New Jersey. New Jersey is always a good one to go with. I mean, you would think that least popular, everything's least popular in New Jersey. No, it's Oregon. Kate Brown. Now, remember all of the Portland trouble?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Catching
she
up.
Is the least popular governor.
Well.
She's a Democrat, 43% popularity. Even that is better than Biden.
So Ron DeSantis wasn't in the top 10 most popular and wasn't in the top 10.
He was the 17th least popular. He was tied with two others. He had 52% approval.
So he's in the middle of the pack, basically.
Yeah,
okay.
52% approval. I mean, come on. You know, he's got, you know, the Democrats hate him.
Sure.
They hate him because he's very conservative, pro-Trump and that kind of thing. Anyway, thank you. We'll be back on Wednesday, Friday, I should say. Remember, freedom works.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.